If everything in life went your way, how would you know how big your faith is? Think about that for a minute. If your health was perfect, you had all the money in the world you needed, everything went your way, how would you know how much faith you have in God? We wouldn't. And that's something I want us to consider this evening, looking at Noah. As we're coming to the end of the book of Hebrews in our study, I want us to consider an ark-sized faith like Noah. But first, I want to thank our visitors for coming and being with us. It's good to see everyone that's out this evening. And just to explain to the visitors, too, I'm still using this stool for a while because of my swelling and inflammation in my knee. But let's start in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 and 7. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. The slides I'm going to be using this evening are from a Noah's Ark organization. This is not the Ark down in Greater Cincinnati. This one is in the Netherlands. There are quite a few Arks throughout the world that people have built. When you look at this, you can see that the details don't match what you read in Genesis. But the thing I want you to focus on is the size. I want you to focus on the size of this structure as we go through this lesson. Because we need to ask ourselves, how big is our faith? When we turn back to Genesis chapter 6, and in Genesis chapter 6, we see in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God's judgment on mankind was utter destruction, with one exception. He was going to destroy the whole world with one exception. That was Noah. Noah was a righteous man in verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He was righteous. He was blameless in his time. He was in chapter 7 and verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Noah was a perfect man in this generation. That doesn't mean that he was sinless, but he was perfect in the sense of his sincerity and his love for God. He wanted to please God. He had a heart whose single purpose was to please God and follow after God's word. And you think about this too, the conditions that Noah lived in. All around about him was wickedness. So Noah spent his life surrounded by wickedness. And this is one of the reasons that his character shines so brightly. And again, for us, we are to let our lights shine so that the world can see Christ living in us. So Noah walked with God. This shows the communion that he had with him, the fellowship. Walking implies an agreement with God. Amos 3:3. It implies a friendship with God. It implies trust. It implies progress. We walk with God in our daily lives. What were others doing at this time? Were they walking with God? No, they were walking in their own worldly, lustly flesh. They were following after the desires. While they were doing that, Noah was living to God. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, we know that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Chapter 11, verse 6. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And also, we've looked at Romans 10, 17. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can't please God unless we have faith. How do we get faith? We get it from the word of God. But when we think about Noah, one of the things that really strikes me is the size of his faith. And with all of us, we need to ask ourselves, we see how big Noah's faith was from what he accomplished. We need to ask ourselves, how big is our faith? And again, as we're going into a new year, into 2020, we need to ask, how big is our faith? We all say we believe in God. What do people see in our life? How do we react to being obedient to God's word? How do we react in being obedient to God's word when things don't go our ways? When we are faced with mockings and persecution and trials? So Noah's obedience was evidence of his faith. We see his faith demonstrated by what he built. He built this ark. Now, the application. What are people going to see that we build with our faith? What kind of life are we building? If we were to compare our life to Noah's, how would it measure up? Would our life be a little rowboat, a little canoe? Would it be something larger, or would it be something like what Noah did? And his faith not only kept Noah from living like his wicked neighbors, but it kept him from being destroyed like all of those around about him also. And again, we need to remember, when we're trying to save others, the person we end up saving may be ourselves. Noah preached and wanted everybody to repent. Did they? No, but he saved himself. He saved himself and he saved his family. And we might say, well, that's not a lot of people. We should be very thankful that Noah saved himself and saved his family, or we wouldn't be here worshiping God and talking about this evening. So it was his faith that saved him. But it was not his faith alone. His faith motivated him to take God at his word and to obey him completely. How big was Noah's faith? Noah's faith was remarkable, and it serves as a pattern for our faith today. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 that we looked at this morning, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we are to press on. Noah was one of those witnesses. We are to look unto him. So Noah demonstrated great faith in an unbelieving world. And Noah's faith sustained him. It carried him through life. It sustained him in his character. Genesis 6, 9. He was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. It sustained him in his conduct. Again, same thing in 6, 9. And in his children, it sustained his children. Hebrews 11, 7. So how big, again, was Noah's faith? Well, it was in part exhibited his great faith by the preaching that he did. Again, Noah preached an unbelievable message. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. They were ungodly people, and Noah is preaching that God is going to bring a flood and destroy everybody unless you repent. what are they going to say? Well, what's a flood? Show me a flood. I've never seen a flood before. When is this going to happen? Is this going to happen tomorrow? Is it going to happen next week? It was an unbelievable message. It was an incredible message. And back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Just think, you have this man, Noah, going around telling everybody. Were these people godly people? No, every intent of their heart was on evil continually. And he's telling them God, the one true God, is going to come and bring water that's going to cover this whole world and destroy everything. But Noah displayed faith by completing an unbelievable task. Well, again, what task do we have to do today? Does God call us to do anything like that? And again, when we look to the task that Noah did, the size of his faith, is it too much for us to do the simple things that God requires of us? And again, God rewarded Noah by being obedient to him, and God punished all of those that were not obedient to him. So what are we building with our faith? Is it visible? I need to ask myself in this coming year, in 2020, what are people going to see in my life that shows them that my faith is getting stronger? What am I building? What are we building together as a congregation? How many people are we going to share the gospel with? How many home Bible studies are we going to set up? What are we going to do, not just to say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. What are we going to do that people in this community can see the size of our faith? Now, this morning, I showed some slides here from what people in this community, the denominations, are doing to show their faith in an unscriptural practice, the religious practice of observing Christ and Christmas. They will point to that and say, look, we believe in this. And their belief is wrong, but they are doing something that is visible that we can all see. What are we doing? What am I doing for people to say that they see the faith in me? How big was Noah's faith? He did all that God commanded him. Noah didn't leave out anything. And this is repeated several times, but again in chapter 6 and verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. It's real easy to do a whole lot of things that somebody tells you to do. And then you get to those couple things that you don't like to do, or they're kind of uncomfortable, and, well, I'm just too busy to do those. Think if Noah was too busy to do all the things that God commanded him to do. He did everything. And again, he's an example for us. His faith was remarkable. And it serves as a pattern for us. He was divinely admonished. Noah was to make all things according to the pattern. Hebrews 8:5. Who serve as a copy and shadow of heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. And what did I just read in Genesis 6:22? Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. We can't say we don't know what to do. God told us. He gave us a pattern. He gave us a pattern. And he gave us a warning. Noah was warned. He was divinely warned. God warns us. What's going to happen to us if we have been warned and we do not do all that God commands us to do? That's a very important lesson for us today. How big was Noah's faith? Well, Noah was a preacher of righteousness concerning all things not seen as yet. Hebrews 11:1. And friends, we walk by faith, not by sight. God tells us to do something, we put our trust in Him. If we see it, it's not faith. It's not faith, it's a reality. So we have to trust in God to do what He says. Again, there was no outward evidence that a flood would occur. They'd probably never thought of this concept because this mist would come up to water everything. And it was in the distant future, 120 years later, before it would come to pass. But Noah was moved with godly fear. And again, a lot of times we don't see an immediate consequence for actions. God says, don't do this. We do it. He doesn't strike us dead. And we think, oh, we can get away with not doing what God says. We can get away with living in sin. And then what's Satan do? He pulls us deeper and deeper into sin, and we're all entangled in it. But he did not see that this would be in the immediate future. It was a distant event before it came to pass. And I have to ask myself, so when we think about the judgment, do we really think each day that I wonder if Jesus is going to come back today? We think that's way off in the future, and we've got plenty of time. We can live however we want to. But friends, we've got to be busy each day building our faith, building it so when Christ comes, we'll be ready. If Noah hadn't worked on this ark every day and God sent the flood of waters, would he have been prepared? No. And if we don't work on our faith every day, we aren't going to be prepared when God comes back. How big is our faith? How big is our faith? Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And think of the great deal of care and labor, time, and expense that was involved in this. Here are some more pictures of a man's in his idea of what the inside of the ark may have been like. You think about these three different levels. One source I read said that would have been like 30,000 square feet of deck level. I think there's about 38,000 square feet in an acre. So like our house sits on an acre, and when it's got 400 feet frontage, and when I walk around there, around that yard, and I think, wow, this is the size that the ark would have been. And Noah built that. He spent his life building that. And whether or not it looked exactly like this, probably not. He put a lot of time and effort into that. How does our faith measure up to Noah? How much revelation did Noah have? Did he have all the scriptures? I don't think he did. I know he didn't. But he had faith in God. How do we measure up? How does your faith measure up? You see on the far left, Noah's ark, 450 feet. Then you see some other buildings, very impressive buildings, Leaning Tower of Pisa, two towers, 12th century, Elizabeth Tower, 1859, Statue of Liberty, 1886, 305 feet tall, Washington Monument, 555 feet tall. All of those monuments are impressive. Look at the Ark, it was very impressive. We see Noah's faith. How does our faith, how does my faith measure up? How does my faith measure up? You consider a space shuttle. The number of space shuttles that would fit inside the ark. It's impressive. There are so many slides that showed like the number of animals and different things that would fit in with all the different sizes and capacity. But you look at that and you just got to go, wow. that man accomplished something. But he did all that God commanded him to do. When people look at our lives, do they go, wow, that person accomplished something? Or do they even notice, has our light gone out? The Great Pyramid of Giza. I put this light on because you hear that word Giza almost every night if you have the TV on with somebody selling their bed sheets that were made in Giza. But this Great Pyramid of Giza, 455 feet tall, one of the most ancient existing structures in all the world, 756 foot square base, the tallest known structure in all the world for over 3,000 years. And all of these structures, think about all of these things that I was showing, just like with the Washington Monument, people were building these for a reason, not because somebody told them that something that they've never heard of before is going to happen, something that's going to happen in the distant future. But God told Noah, you do what I say because there's judgment coming. And you better get ready. And you warn everybody you can because I am coming back and bringing judgment because you're not living right. Washington Monument, the tallest true obelisk in the world, completed 1884, 555 feet tall. Comparing it to football fields, 1.25 American football fields. That's kind of hard to see there, a train car. The volume, 1.5 million cubic feet, 4,500 cubic meters, 527 railroad boxcars. When I was little and we would go to town to visit my grandparents on a Sunday night, usually after services, and we'd head home, and I would hope, boy, I hope we get on the other side of the train track because the train comes. Because there is a train that would come every night. And if those arms would come down, my parents would just say, start counting the cars. Start counting the cars. We don't see many trains around anymore. We don't have to stop for many. And boy, you know, we hope there's just a few cars. But you think about 527 boxcars. That's how much space Noah's Ark could hold. Ark-sized faith. How big is my faith? How many times have we heard people say words to the effect, and you think about Noah preaching where he condemned the world. How many times have you heard people say to the effect, well, if you tell me that there's only one way to heaven, then you're condemning my family. You're telling me my mother's not in heaven. You're telling me my father's not in heaven. Friends, we are told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. When one takes a stand for the truth, we will be condemning those who are not following the truth. And that's what Noah did. And that's another reason why his faith was amazing. Because he was building this ark in opposition to all the people around about him. You know, we might go to work sometimes and feel like we stick out like a sore thumb because we're the only Christian there. Well, Noah and his family were the only godly family in the world at this time. And friends, it may not be comfortable telling somebody the truth, but it's going to be a whole lot better to warn them now and them not like us than to get to the day of judgment. And if they are, just to use a figure of speech, in line before us, and they turn around and point to us and they said, you knew about this. Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me? Noah was preaching in the face of opposition. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. Fear. And again, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How did Noah condemn the world? Well, he condemned the world by living by faith. When we just live a Christian life, that is going to condemn certain people because we don't go along with them. They want us to go along. They will try to talk us into doing it, embarrass us. You want to take a drink? You mean you want to skip services? You mean you want to do this? He condemned the world by living by faith. He condemned the world by heeding the warnings of God. Again, when the people heard Noah's preaching, they refused to follow God's will and get into the ark. I imagine they changed their mind when that rain started coming down and the water started coming up. But it was too late then. It was too late. But by this preaching, he condemned the world. And he condemned the world by preparing for the coming flood. When people would see Noah and his sons out there every day working on this flood, they mocked him. They mocked him. And his actions condemned them. It would be like when we go to services, maybe our neighbors see us, and why do you go on Sunday night? Why do you go on Wednesday night? You're just silly people. They're mocking us. Did that deter Noah? No, he did all things that God commanded him. Why did he do that? He did it by faith. He did it by faith. And one of the reasons was by the warnings. He was divinely warned, and he heeded that warning. Friend, we are divinely warned too. We are warned. Now, when Noah preached to these people, do you think that he talked down to them or acted rude to them? I don't think so. I think he would have had compassion in his heart. He knew what God was going to do. Noah himself was a righteous man, a just man. I don't think he would have made fun of the way they lived. But he had compassion on them because Noah, I would imagine, when God tells him to preach, he was hoping to take more than just his family on this ark, but it didn't work out that way. But he did God's will regardless of the consequences to himself or his family. And friends, we need to have ark-sized faith like Noah, and we need to follow God's word regardless of the consequences it has on us or our family. And you stop and think about just from the family aspect for a minute. You know, as parents, we can take things that our children can't take. And just, I don't know how old Noah's sons were when he started this, but just like with our son Chris, when he was in soccer, we'd be playing games on Wednesday night, and we'd be watching the clock. Bible study was 7:30, and I'd give the coach a look, and he knew what I was looking at him for because we were pulling Chris out to take him to Bible study on Wednesday evening. What do you think his teammates thought of that? You know, you stick out. You stick out. Noah, his family stuck out. They stuck out because they were doing God's will. And we need to have a backbone today. How big was Noah's faith? It was so big that he became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. His faith made him righteous. His righteousness made him an heir. Noah was able to inherit. In 1 Peter 1:9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. We want to have this ark-sized faith so that we can receive an inheritance. And again, as we've gone through chapter 11 in Hebrews and looked at all of these things, these mighty examples of people, somebody tells you something to do and you say, well, I can't do this. And then they'll point to half a dozen people. Well, if they've done it, why can't you do it? How do you answer that? Well, yeah, I guess I can do it. If they did it, I can do it. We must have a faith that we carry out so that we can obtain that inheritance. Friends, with this, we don't want to wait till it's too late. We don't want to wait till tomorrow to start building our faith. We don't want to wait till next year. Psalm 32:6, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not reach him. I think this is a reference back to the time of Noah. We hear people talk about deathbed repentance. We may not get that chance to repent. The door of the ark might be closed. And friends, we, just like Noah, have been divinely warned of things not yet seen. Have we seen Jesus come back in the clouds in flaming fire with his mighty angels? Haven't seen that. Is it going to happen? It's going to happen. When's it going to happen? Didn't happen last week, didn't happen last month, but we know it's going to happen. And friends, we must be moved with godly fear. Are you preparing for the day of judgment and destruction? Just like we are building our life, our faith each day, we must be preparing each day for that day of judgment and destruction. I want to close with James chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And we would all here say that we have faith. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's how people see our faith. It is something that is visible. Again, is your faith big enough for people to see it in your life? Is my faith big enough? If everything was going along in our life fine, we wouldn't know how much faith in God we have. But God sends us these trials, these things that we go through. And part of it is just living the Christian life and telling others, and that will build our faith. So, back to the ark. When the flood came, there were some people inside the ark, and they were saved. There were people outside of the ark, and they were lost. They were destroyed. God shut the door. Where will you be on judgment day when God shuts the door? We're either going to be saved or we are going to be shut out. We're going to be in the ark of safety, saved by grace, saved by faith, and that faith that is obedient. Or we're going to be in the world of sin and die in the punishment of our sins forever. Friends, heaven's door is now open. Don't miss the opportunity. Please take advantage of the opportunity to enter heaven's door. Show your faith tonight by being obedient to Christ, submitting to him in baptism, and then living a life of faith. We invite you, dear friends, if anyone needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, please come forward now as we stand and sing.